A fuel spill at the LUTAC dock was quickly contained, but notification about the spill is another matter. And another installment of our artist series. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Fuel distributor Delta Western is working with the State Department of Environmental Conservation, or DEC, after a fuel spill at the LUTAC dock last week. A hose disconnected while filling a tanker truck at its fueling station, spilling about 120 gallons of jet fuel on the ground. While the spill is considered small by DEC standards and cleanup is mostly complete, the Haynes Borough found out 2 days after the fact. That didn't sit well with borough officials. That's Haynes Borough manager and retired Marine, Dave Sosa. He alerted media to the spill on Thursday and requested Delta Western release a public statement about it. As of about 5 p.m. Thursday, that still hadn't happened. Fuel or toxic spills of any size have to be reported to the DEC. Bob Mattson is an environmental program manager with the Prevention and Emergency Response Division at DEC. Here he is describing the spill that took place April 21st as reported to him by Delta Western. Jet A fuel is used for airplanes, helicopters, and other turbine engines. It's trucked north to the Alaska interior from the LUTAC dock. It's just one kind of fuel that constitutes the more than 600,000 gallons of fuel that crosses the dock monthly. Mattson says he was told by Delta Western that cleanup began right away and the company notified DEC within about 2 hours. He says that time period for notification is reasonable. But DEC isn't the only entity that's supposed to be notified when a spill occurs. Mattson says the landowner should also be told. He says he assumed Delta Western owned the property. A few days later, he discovered that wasn't the case. The property is owned by the borough and leased to Delta Western. Sosa says he was alerted to the spill by Mattson's office, at which point he contacted Delta Western's main office in Seattle. He said Delta Western agreed the borough was supposed to be notified of the spill. Here's the rationale Sosa said he received from the company officials for not notifying him right away. Sosa says on Thursday morning he met with local and executive Delta Western representatives, the Haynes Harbor Master, DEC officials, and the mayor on teleconference about how to deal with response and notifications in the future. Now that the borough knows about the spill, Mattson says borough officials will be included in cleanup and remediation plans. As for the contamination, Mattson says he gave Delta Western permission to use its own excavator to remove the soil and put it in a bermed, lined area. Mattson says he authorized that because it was forecasted to rain the day of the spill. Removing the soil right away prevented the fuel from being spread deeper or further by the rain. Delta Western and DEC now work together on a plan to store the 14 cubic yards of contaminated soil more securely and make a disposal and remediation plan for it. Mattson says the site and groundwater will also have to be tested to make sure all the contamination was taken care of. Skagway held its community clean sweep last weekend as the town readies for the first cruise ship of the season on May 5th. This weekend, the Haynes community is mobilizing for its Operation Clean Sweep. Haynes Chamber of Commerce Executive Director Deborah Schnabel and I talked about the event on this morning's Talk Around Town, starting with the agencies collaborating on this year's event.
The Haynes Chamber, the Haynes Borough, the Chilkoot Indian Association, Acme Transfer, Community Waste Solutions, and then there's one other, Tuxedo Watershed Council.
Right.
So everybody's kind of pooling resources, varying resources, and just trying to get this out.
Seems like a bigger, quote, operation, no pun intended, this year than in years past. So how did it get to mobilize to be such a big and collaborative project this year?
Well, I think that people were just tired of it looking dirty, and I don't know what happened last year. It might be weather, you know. I'm hoping that the weather's nice. People will come out and clean up stuff if it's warm and the sun's out. They probably won't come out. Well, I shouldn't say that.
Don't say that.
I won't say that. But I think that, you know, a lot of people care about what the community looks like, and so it was easy enough.
So what are the nuts and bolts of it?
Basically,
yes.
Friday at 3 p.m., show up at the parking lot of the public safety building.
Okay.
You'll get an assignment of where to go. You will take a treat. We have some apples and crunch bars and that sort of thing. And that's just going to be a sweep for 2 hours, from 3 to 5, town site.
Just in the town site area. In the town site. And you'll be given a directive of where to go.
Excluding, you know, going out the LUTAC. I mean, okay. I know that the town site goes out to LUTAC, but just, you know, basically to the top of LUTAC Road. Then on Saturday at 9 o'clock, oh, and people can pick up trash, put it in litter bags, the official litter bags, which you pick up on Friday, and just set it by the side of the road. Okay. Then on Saturday at 9 o'clock, same drill, except people will go out onto the roads, you know, out LUTAC, out Mud Bay, and out the highway.
Wow, you're really expanding the area then.
Well, okay. Yeah, we have to.
Contact the Haines Chamber of Commerce at 766-2202 for more information on this year's Operation Clean Sweep. Seventeen Haines artists are participating in one of the largest public art projects in the town's history. The Alaska Arts Confluence's Fort Seward Interpretive Project is funded by a grant from Arts Place America. This spring and summer, KHNS's Emily Files is talking to artists involved in the project. Debbie Knight Kennedy is using found objects like moose antlers, spruce wood, and a bird's wing for her piece. She says the project has taken on a deeper meaning than she originally intended.
When I first heard about the project, at the presentation, I had this immediate vision of the girl on the swing, because I make figurative sculpture that, you know, I carve, I use fabrics, and I was picturing this, the swing in Fort Seward. I pictured in my kind of innocent mind a pretty girl in a beautiful dress sitting on the swing. I went scrambling around in just my shops to look at bits and pieces. And I found this face that I had cast in glass maybe 10 years ago or so. And she's got kind of a haunted look to me. She looks kind of wistful, a little bit sad, a little bit haunted. And the whole thing shifted. I started thinking about the barracks and the kind of ghostliness of it. I've been in that barracks building and the building that stands, and it's very ghosty. And so the whole project shifted in my mind to doing a spirit of the girl on the swing. That just hit me as exactly the right thing. So when I saw a picture of a girl on a swing, and she was young and she was dressed scantily, and even though I know it might have been a great fun thing at the time, I was personally like, oh my God, how could young girls be lowered on a swing into a group of drinking men? It just distressed me, you know. Coming from my own place of a feminist, the idea of young women being objectified. It went from an innocent, fluffy thing to really a piece that has more meaning and depth and is so a lot more interesting to do. It's taking a little bit of what happened, a little bit of the reality, but it's putting my vision as an artist on it and my vision as a 58-year-old woman who grew up in the 60s and has, you know, I have a lot of strong feelings about how women have been treated over the years. And that's coming out in this piece. Maybe I haven't done that before. I'm using kind of broken parts and bones, and I've got possibly a wing. My idea is to express the kind of sadness that I feel and then to give this girl on the swing, give her back her freedom. So I'm thinking, you know, one arm I'm thinking is going to be a wing, because that represents freedom to me.
Are there any specific experiences that you're drawing on for this that you've had?
Nothing specifically. Well, yes, things did specifically happen to me. We had to dress in certain ways. I mean, as a little child, I remember going to school in the snow in a dress, in a short little dress, because we weren't allowed to wear pants, you know, just something as simple as that. And just growing up, getting jobs as a young woman, inappropriate sexual advances by bosses. To me, it was just always on my mind how to navigate in this world. Times have changed a lot, and getting older has changed a lot. You just somehow automatically get more respect as an older woman. But those times are strong feeling in me. I guess now that I think about it, when I started saying that nothing specific happened to me, I was completely wrong. I was in two abusive marriages that had a huge impact on me. So the ability to stand up now for anything that I feel and is a great feeling. So with this piece, it's just that combination of trying to express a sadness in her and a freedom.
That was Haynes artist Debbie Knight Kennedy describing her found object piece for the Fort Seward Project. You can see pictures of her project at khns.org. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.